When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone, welcome to another Q&A of this pre-season, our third one, is it?
Yeah,
Sam? We've been doing it for ages, and all of a sudden we're right back in the seat.
We're here all the time now, they can't get rid of us.
I know, they actually can't, we've got contracts, everything, physically cannot get rid of us. How are you? We were just having a little catch up with about Kane, and then I thought, actually, why are we doing this off air? We should definitely be doing this on the stream. Also, I'm very hungover today. So, I mean, Sam normally carries us on this stream, but even more so in this case.
Oh, gosh. So we've got me feeling quite totes emosh about potentially what's going on at Spurs and you in a hungover state. So, wow, this is going to be an interesting stream.
Yeah, it was my new work's like summer party and like the first event I've gone to. So I was thinking, you know, don't make a fool of yourself, Az. Just go, just, you know, don't be the drunkest person in the room. I was the drunkest person in the room.
I wish I was there. Yeah. I love Drunk Az.
It was...
Drunk Az is the best.
Drunk Az was a little bit too drunk last night. But anyway, I'm getting on with things. Hi to everyone in the chat. A lot of our regulars in there. I see Nuclear Atoms. I see FPL Rank Chaser as well. Do get your questions in for us. Tanny McDonald. Az looks like a broken man. Yeah, you're not.
He is a broken man.
You're not wrong.
But that's just general.
Yeah, that's not even today. That's just in general. We've also got quite a few things to talk about on this because there's been some injuries to key players. Jesus is the player who I was never going to start with. Going to go with my differential of Watkins. And now everyone's got Watkins in their team. So we talk about that. And Nkunku's got a little bit of a minor doubt as well. And I'm starting to see Salah coming into a few more drafts. As well, because people are kind of moving these players down to players like João Pedro or 4-5, so then upgrading up to Salah. So again, it's gonna be really interesting what kind of happens at the start of the season. Any changes to your Sam? Are you still pretty set?
Well, the Trent wobble is real. Like, so having had Trent the whole season, the whole pre-season, I'm now at the point where I'm looking at Liverpool going, I mean, you're just not going to keep any clean sheets, are you, for a while? Mm. They're going to be attacking, they're going to get loads of goals. But then I just don't see the clean sheets coming. And then we've had Trent playing in a number of different positions, haven't we, in this preseason? Sometimes we've seen him at the back in that kind of traditional old position that we didn't particularly like. Then we've seen him in the midfield attacking, more attacking role. Then we've kind of seen him in the more central midfield. Mm. Like, he's been a bit all over the place. And I think those different positions have kind of made me go, well, that's great because he's flexible. But it also means that Klopp doesn't really know what to do at the back at the moment and who to put where. And, you know, I think the lack of goal, the lack of clean sheets rather, has slightly tempered my enthusiasm for him. Plus, I also worked out quite late and I don't really know what was the matter with me, but in realising that if I had Chilwell over Trent, who I wanted anyway to have Chilwell in my team, it made it much, much easier to have Salah in the midfield. And so at that point I was like, well, I'm actually not ripping up the rest of my team in order to have Salah. So I'm now erring on starting with Salah and not Trent.
Oh, so you hear the dog? Even the dog was shocked.
Hang on a minute. That is not the dog expecting to see.
That is not a Jake bark. That is another. Oh, actually, the dogs have just been swapped over. Now there is a Jake in the room. Interesting. So you're Salah in at the moment.
Yeah, because so normally I am one of those managers that really likes to play the positional price points in early game. I think we spoke about this last week in the Q&A. Like, I do like to go with the most expensive player in each position because it gives me the most flexibility possible. And all of preseason, I've obviously had Haaland up top and I've had Trent at the back, but I haven't had a premium midfielder. And the more I look at my team, the more I think, well, there are so many of the mid-priced defensive assets that I would really like to have, an Arsenal defender, Chilwell. So many of them. But maybe actually the best thing is to start with Salah, because if Salah doesn't perform in the way that I want, then I can just do what I did last season, which is take the money out of him and deploy it everywhere else and upgrade to Trent. It's much easier to upgrade to Trent by taking the money out of Salah than it is to upgrade to Salah by taking the money out of Trent.
Yeah, but the issue is that everyone kind of knows this, you know it already, but it's having those 8-5 mids, isn't it? Or being around those 8 mids, being able to have your Fernandes,
you can do it. It's doable. Like, the team that I've got at the moment has Salah, it has Bruno, and it has Saka. So it's not missing. I mean, it's missing having like three others of them, but it's got at least a couple of them in there. And then there's a 7, or is it a 7.5? I think it might be a 7.5 at the minute because I've still got Madison. And then there's a drop off right down to a cheap 5th. But that enables me to have a really nice 4 in the middle.
Yeah. Well, we're one midfielder who is starting to pick up some attraction and is going to be mentioned even more if Kane does leave, is, of course, Richarlison. We have touched him a few times on these streams. R9, as he's being called. Lugani Nzuza is calling him R9, which is, yeah, the maybe pitch. he's got a couple, a few more levels, I think, to maybe reach the heights of that name. FPL fella, if Kane leaves, would you start with Richarlison?
Yes.
Or wait and see? You'd be straight in with really, 7 million.
Yeah. If Kane goes, then I will have Richarlison for game week 1, 100%. Because even if, I mean, we're signing a new striker today, but he's young, isn't he? And the reality is he's missed the whole of pre-season. So he's going to arrive in the next, 48, 72 hours, something like that, having missed every game of pre-season because he's not going to be available for the Shakhtar game the weekend. There is a game on Tuesday against Barcelona, to be fair, but unlikely that he'd play a part in that. So what does that mean for game week 1? Well, it means Richarlison in the number 9. And
R9.
And to be fair, he has been fantastic when he's played there in pre-season under Postecoglou. Like, he's been really good because he fits the system that the new Spurs manager wants to play so well. Like, he's actually a better fit than Kane is for that position. Now, he's not a better player, but he's a better fit for the system. And I think with Madison and Son and Kulusevski surrounding him, he is going to get a lot of game time. He is selfish, as we all know. He's going to be in and around that box all the time. And he is going to be picking up all of those balls and crosses that go in. So if Kane leaves, I think he's going to, I think the first thing I'll do is swap Madison for Richarlison.
Oh, so you've got Madison at the moment. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I think he would be a really exciting pick. And I think he's one of those players who, it might take people have a pretty bad opinion of Richarlison anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And even if Kane goes, I don't think everyone's going to be like, oh, I'm going to get Richarlison, because they're going to remember how he was last season, kind of player he is. So I think, you know, he will be someone who you get in early and could be a really good kind of differential option against a lot of other teams. Because there's going to be quite a few people that go for him sort of within our own little FPL world. But generally speaking, his ownership is going to be really low. Danny McDonald says, I remember the days when you just fried with Charleston. So do I.
So Danny, that hasn't necessarily changed, as Danny well knows. However, what I will say is that the thing I don't like about Richarlison is the stroppiness. It's the stropping around the pitch that I can't stand. And we saw that a lot at Everton. Like, he used to strop about, but then in part that's because he wasn't getting a lot of good service when he was at Everton a lot of the time. And then he came to Spurs. We've seen way less stropping around because he is getting service. He's been more frustrated with himself than anything else because last season he wasn't great. but we don't see any of the stropping when he plays for Brazil. Like, we never see that. Like, he plays really well. And what we've seen in pre-season, I said this on our family live stream at the weekend, we've seen the Richarlison he plays for Brazil in pre-season for Spurs, not the Richarlison that was stroppy and argumentative from Everton. And I think he's strong, he's physical, he's everything Postecoglou would want in a forward player. And yes, we're going to sign this other guy. He's going to come in. Could he challenge the spot? Absolutely. But he is young. And it's still not firmly decided that he's going to come yet. He might go back out on loan again. So we'll have to see what happens there. But even if Richarlison only plays for the first few game weeks, then you're at wildcard point anyway. So you can swap him out. Plus, there's loads of other players in that kind of 7 to 8 million bracket that you could easily move Richarlison to if after a couple of game weeks he's not performing as you would expect. But I think with the fixtures that Spurs have in those sort of first 4 weeks, with the exception of the Manchester United game, I would expect to see some fairly good returns from whoever it is that starts in the number nine. And it will probably be him if it's not Kane.
Yeah, nice. No, I like him as a pick. After we've been told at the end of the day, it's the deadline. I mean, those things never actually turn out like that.
The end of the day. But I mean, Levy doesn't pay any attention to deadlines, though, does he?
I can imagine Levy, last day of the transfer window, being like, all right, you can have him for 85, and then it all goes through.
Depends what this offer is. They've made an improved offer today, but haven't heard the number yet. So depends what that number is.
Yep. Nuclear Atoms, hit the like button to show the love for this show. Absolutely. Yeah, if you haven't subscribed to Scout yet, do so. If you haven't given us a like, do so. Drop us a comment as well or a question in the chat too. Got about 300 people watching, which is absolutely lovely. Nice numbers. Let's go to a different team. Let's go to another London team. Let's go to Arsenal because obviously the Jesus injury has meant a reshuffling around. I had a really good question, which I now can't find. Hang on, let me just stall for a second. There it is. FPL Fella again. Blimey, FPL Fella. Asking some good questions today. That's good. doesn't having Jesus out now, we want at least two Arsenal mids. I have always wanted two Arsenal mids. And now everyone is coming round to my way of thinking because of an unfortunate injury to Jesus. I've always wanted two Arsenal mids. I think they're so important. I think they're the best assets in their team and got great fixtures to start. So, yeah.
Which two have you got?
I've got Saka and Havertz, haven't I?
Oh, of course. Because I have.
He's still in the team, Sam.
Is he going to stay?
I don't know. I'm less happy with him with Jesus out.
Yeah, because of Trossard.
Yeah, with Trossard. Yeah. And I think, you know, Jesus is very good at kind of occupying space. And that's what I want from Havertz, is being able to get into those pockets. We're not really sure what Arsenal are going to do. They're going to line up with Trossard as a false nine. Will it be Nketiah? I don't know. I think either don't have the running and the legs and the willingness to drop back that Jesus did. So yeah, I've gone off him a little bit, and maybe even Havertz plays at nine as well, like a false nine, and we've seen him not do so well there for Chelsea. So yeah, gone off him a bit, but at the moment he's still in my side. But yeah, at the moment you haven't got two Arsenal mids, right? You've just got one. So that means you've just got two Arsenal players.
Yeah. Not necessarily. So I don't normally like to treble up at the start of the season because I like the flexibility of being able to then move on the player that is in form without having to sell somebody else in order to do it. Now, with Arsenal, I was less worried about that anyway, because the likelihood is I was doubling up in midfield because they're my preferred Arsenal picks anyway. Like, I wasn't ever going with Jesus. I was always, if I had a third Arsenal, it was always going to be Martinelli. Obviously, I've got Saka, but I still think that that's the way to go. I think when we did the official pod yesterday, Jules was talking about Havertz's flexibility to play in that position as well. It could be Nketiah. Where's Trossard going to be? Like, there feels like there's a lot of uncertainty with those three slightly cheaper Arsenal assets. And that's what puts me off them. It's like, if you pay the money for Ødegaard or Martinelli, you do know what you're going to get with them. But it's just whether you can make the budget work to enable you to have the other premiums that you want, and then have enough of those more expensive mid-priced players.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's lots of love for Trossard at the moment. Like, I saw him mention, because he's had a good pre-season. I saw him mention, I'm not going to go there, but might actually be a shout now. Quite a few people in the chat talking about Martinelli.
Yeah, I like Martinelli.
At 8 million. I'm really not seeing much on Odegaard. I don't see him in any teams.
But don't you think that that's because they priced him at the same point as Saka? if they'd have priced Ødegaard at 8, the same as Martinelli, I think you'd see him.
Yeah, but yeah, no, I know. I just think it's I'm just surprised that Jesus has got injured and people aren't really going for Ødegaard. They're still going towards Martinelli and Trossard. I'm seeing him in more.
I think also that's because a lot of people seem to be moving from Jesus to Watkins and keeping the budget there.
Wow, that's true. That's true.
So if you keep the budget there, then it's hard to have the more expensive Arsenal midfielder alongside Saka. So I suppose they'll be looking at Havertz, Trossard, Martinelli because
No one's looking at Havertz but me. I don't think I've convinced anyone to start with him. I guess it's Ødegaard or Fernandes, isn't it? That's the kind of the big one.
Yeah, it is. And if you've got Saka already and you want to have one of those assets from Manchester United, be it Bruno or Rashford, it's quite difficult to then have Ødegaard as well.
Do you think, and this is a good question from Rahan Bashir, the Community Shield is on Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday.
I'm lucky enough to be going. Really looking forward to it. Not been to a Community Shield game before. Will that influence our decisions? Will it tell us what to do with Trossard, Martinelli, Ødegaard? I can say with guaranteed, optimism, confidence, it will, right? If we watch that game and Martinelli gets a brace, he's going to be in everyone's team.
Yeah, 100%. Because the thing is that pre-season, we all watch pre-season games, as we should, because it gives us an indication of form, it gives us an indication of player positions, that sort of thing. But mostly, it doesn't necessarily help us too much in terms of knowing who the game week one teams are going to be, because the managers move stuff around so much. It's only in the later pre-season matches that you start to see the team that you think it might be in game week one. The exception to all of this conversation is the Community Shield, particularly when it's a Community Shield between Manchester City and Arsenal, because both of those sides will put out their first choice 11 for game week one. I am almost 100% sure of that. So whatever happens with the lineups in the Community Shield on Sunday will have a massive impact on what happens with our FPL teams, because if Foden doesn't line up for Man City, you'll see him disappear out of FPL teams up and down the leagues. If Martinelli smashes a hat-trick in the Community Shield, he will come in droves, because he will be playing, and we'll get an understanding. Like, if Trossard's starting, whoever starts up top for Arsenal in the Community Shield will be the one that has the most growth, I think, in the last week of this pre-season.
Doesn't always work. Remember last year?
Doesn't always work.
Not everyone. I went off Haaland after the Community Shield performance and then straight in with two goals against West Ham, game week one. You know, we have seen players do well in the Community Shield and then, you know, rush to get them in and they not deliver. It's
more about them starting, I think.
Yeah, I think that's the key for me, is that I think there's some uncertainties for City. Who's going to start on the right wing, for example? Yeah. Is Foden going to start in the middle? Is Grealish fit or filling how I feel?
Yes. He's still drunk.
That's it. And in defence as well. I mean, obviously we've got Gabriel and Saliba, but, you know, is Ben White going to start a right back? Is Timber going to come in? Is Zinchenko anywhere near fitness if he hasn't had much of a pre-season? All those kind of questions are really interesting. Lineups absolutely are going to be key. And in a lot of ways, I think, you know, players are going to be playing for a place on the side. So I think you're right. I think we might see a player come in and start this game, but it doesn't necessarily mean if they have a bad performance, they can guarantee to start in game one either. So I think looking at the performances, looking at the formation, looking at the players that come in is going to be really key. And yeah, it's going to influence all so much. I mean, quite a few people talking about Nketiah. Khalid says Eddie Nketiah, an Arsenal midfielder, or just get Watkins. I think Nketiah is too risky, right? Because I think, like you said, surely Trossard and Havertz, maybe the false nine is more the way that Arteta wants to play, which means
I think so.
Nketiah's impact's up, right?
I think so. And I think the other thing, if you do go down to Nketiah, is when Jesus comes back in a couple of weeks' time, you'd expect him to go straight back in. And then what are you doing about Nketiah? Because you don't want somebody taking up an Arsenal spot. And that's always my concern with trebling up with a risk player like Nketiah. Like, at the price point, it's quite hard to go easily to somebody else decent in that position. You can't go to Jesus unless you've left the money in the bank. Whereas if you go for a Havertz or a Trossard, I think it's just a little bit...
Yeah.
It's a little bit easier to manage that if they then lose game time when Jesus comes back.
I don't think they will. I mean, he does all right, doesn't he, Nketiah? When he's called upon.
Right, yeah.
When Jesus is injured, I mean, he had 9 starts last season during the spell when Jesus was out. He got 4 goals and 2 assists in that time. He was also in a lot of our teams the year before that when he was playing up top. Got 5 goals in that period as well. So he's someone who I would look at if he was guaranteed to play.
Yeah.
But there's no guarantee. And like you say, it's so hard to jump off him. You've got an Arsenal spot locked in your team.
Taken up.
If one of the other Arsenal mids done, it's not for me.
Having a midfielder is much, much easier to jump off because it's just a straight swap to somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. Trossard, I think, is risky enough to go for him because there's no guarantee that he plays either. You know, if he does go Havertz and Marcelo on the left, for example, and Trossard comes on. But he's a more a fun pun, I think, than Nketiah, who I just don't think is his first choice in that system. Leo's good. Nketiah is an awful pick. Did troll me so much last season. Yeah, that's normally how it goes. Dom Dewsbury, Eddie's not nailed, and we get rotated and subbed during 100%. Games. No doubt about that. Yep. Although Nick Grattan says, FPL champion, Ali, one of our pro pundits, he's currently got Trossard. So he thinks that Trossard is going to be the striker. So maybe me saying he's too big of a risk. If the world champ thinks he's going to start, who are we to disagree?
Let's see who starts in the Community Shield. I think that is going to be really, really telling.
Mm, yep. 4 million goalkeepers.
Ooh.
So Turner. We think is going to Forest, right?
Mm-hmm.
4 million.
Yeah.
We could potentially have a 4 million double up of Areola and Turner.
Ooh, how attractive.
What do you reckon on that?
go on, really? Spend an extra 0.5 and have somebody else instead of one of them. I don't think you want the pair of them. And I think if Turner goes, I'll have him as my backup.
Yeah.
Because he's gonna start, whereas Areola may start some matches. I don't think he's gonna automatically take. Like I'm not in the camp that thinks Areola's gonna get loads of. He's suddenly gonna become the West Ham number one. I still think that's Fabianski. I think he'll get some game time, but.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, so if Turner does complete that move, and it seems like it's Turner or Henderson, not both, so that's positive because it will mean that we do know that he's going in and he's going to be the number one, then having that 4.0 starter as your spare goalie is perfect.
I tried the 4 million goalkeepers last year. It wasn't fun.
What did you do? The double up for Leicester?
I did the double up.
Kelly did that, didn't she?
Yeah.
Mental people.
Wasn't great. Not going to lie.
But I think you want a 4.5 I'm going to go with Onana and a 4.0. That makes a lot of sense to me. But if you want to go for a Leno or a Pickford in the 4.5 bracket, then I don't hate that at all.
No, there's good 4.5 options. You know, Leno, there Pickford, are. Flecken, assuming Rayner does leave. If he's going to be Brentford's starting goalkeeper.
Oh, yeah, but they've not looked good defensively at all so far. He's got a lot of learning to do, Flecken.
Good fixtures, though.
I'm seeing
him in not in many teams now. I still quite like him. And I've got Steele in mine, so he's another 4-5 option too. The new signing, he's not added to FPL yet, as far as I know. Rasmus Højlund.
Oh, yeah.
I've got that right. We are expecting him to come in at a Jackson or an Nkunku price, right? 7 or 7.5.
I think so.
I don't think they're making more than that.
Manchester United striker, though.
I mean, how much is Martial? Martial's 6'5 as a striker. They're not going to make him 8 or 8.5, and Martial 6'5. I wouldn't have thought. I think he'll come in at 7.5. I think he'll come in at Nkunku's price.
I mean, that would be nice.
Mm. Would you be tempted?
I think I would be tempted because it makes you have that conversation, doesn't it, about how you're spreading your budget around. Because whilst I don't think it would make me not want Rashford, but in terms of Bruno, if he was saving a million on Bruno and he's the forward and you know where he's going to play, then that's attractive. I do think it's a really nice price point, but again, I think it's another one of those that he's coming in quite late.
Yeah.
Will Ten Hag put him Ten Hag put him straight in because they've done a preseason without him now? Or will he, for game week one, play with the system that he's used to and the players know and play Rashford through the middle? And then might we see him get some game time, 20 minutes here, you know, at the end, and then or will he just put him straight in? It's hard. I think had he arrived 2 weeks ago, I'd be more certain about going in with him to start the season. I think he's just, for me, when they sign this late and there is another option, because he can play Rashford through the middle, he can play Martial, it feels a little bit risky. But if he comes in at 7.5, he's definitely on the radar of players that you could go to for sure.
FPL Prasim says, if Rasmus Højlund is 7... Højlund, sorry, didn't pronounce the D, is 7.5. That's a real bargain straight in my squad. There you go. Some people are very keen on him. Yeah, but I think he'd be a good option at 7.5.
I think he'll be a great option. Yeah, I think he will. I just think that there are others at the moment that you know a bit more about because it's not a week to go till first match.
FPL Matty, win a lot 3 weeks of FPL content going on about having Jesus in your team and look now. Yeah, should have listened to my streams. Didn't have him. Didn't mention him once. Yeah.
No, neither me.
Abdul, hi Az, hi Sam. Not really a question, but thought I'd just say hi.
Nice to say hi.
Yeah, why not? I had another good question. Oh yeah, from Pete. With statement on added time and 100-minute plus games expected, and Eldon players like Bruno and Odegaard, who might not be as explosive, but are they better options potentially than Marcelinho Rashford, who could be subbed? Would you change your play style and like your players you get because of?
It's a great question. So I think with players like Rashford, I don't pay too much attention to that because you know they're going to start and get the majority of minutes in the game. So yeah, they might come off at, you know, 70, 75, 80, something like that. But I know what I'm getting from Rashford, generally speaking. So yes, and I know what I'm going to get from Bruno across the full 90 that he's going to play. I think it maybe has more of an impact when you're looking at some of the clubs lower down the league than it does like when you're looking at the cheaper ones, because at that point you want to get as much game time as you can. But still, I think as long as they're starters and they're going to get more than 60 minutes and I'm confident in their abilities to return in that 60 minutes. 60 minutes has always been the key for me with FPL. Are they going to play week in, week out 60 minutes? I'm not necessarily worried about whether they play 90 minutes, but are they going to get to the 60-minute mark, particularly for the defenders and midfielders, the clean sheet lock-in? And in that time, are they likely to return? That's the key for me. So I don't think that the new rule on adding minutes is going to have too much impact on my FPL decision-making. Mm. Do you think it will with yours?
No, I don't think so. It doesn't change anything, does it? I think the players like Bruno and Odegaard are great options because they've got that nailed on factor, and that's why we drift to those. I think Martinelli, you know what you're going to get with Martinelli. You know that there is a risk with him, with Trossard on the left, or if you change up the system, that he could be subbed early. He's going to start the most majority of games, but would I not pick him? Or, you know, would I not pick him because it's going to be an extra 10 minutes of extra time? Not even that, extra 5 minutes of extra time at the end of the game? Probably not. You know that he might get subbed, but that's the risk you take with him because he's a bit cheaper and he's still a good option. So no, it's not going to change. The only thing that makes me think is it's going to be an absolute nightmare owning defenders. If games are going to be having like 10, 15 minutes of extra time and you've got your defender in that game or a double defence or something like that.
Maybe you want the defenders to get subbed.
Oh, well, exactly. I know. Oh, please. Yeah. Pick defenders who are likely to get subbed. Maybe that's the
that's the
lesson. That's the lesson for this. Well, so, you know, someone like Zinchenko or someone, when he comes in, maybe he does get subbed off.
Even when we know a bit more about Timbers and Ben White, whoever's starting actually might be the one to go with from Arsenal.
Yep. Yeah. No, absolutely. Quite a few people were saying about picking Bruno for this reason.
Picking Bruno because he's cheaper than Rashford, not for
his minutes. Going Bruno, no Rashford.
Yeah.
Ooh, Sam, you are spicy with some of these some of these picks today. Interesting. Oh, is Delia missed out on the start of the stream?
She is.
Where have you been, Delia?
Delia, where have you been? Don't be late for Fest next week, Delia.
No, it's been rowdy.
She baking.
Yeah, maybe she's baking for Fest. Hopefully maybe everyone listening is coming to Fest. Sam and I will be there on
Will
Friday.
You be drunk?
I imagine so.
I love it.
Mark and I are doing the live Black Box at 5. So
crash.
I shouldn't be drunk before that. Oh, of course you are, yeah. I imagine there's going to be some guest appearances.
I'll just come and give you a hug midway through.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Be like, get off me.
There was another question I saw. Adam Tompkins. There's a YouTube channel called FPL Black Box, is there? Where the host didn't watch Match of the Day for a week. Will we see right. that one on FF Scout? But
what weirdos are they?
No, just two losers, I think, do that.
Right. One thing I will say about that, the best thing I've watched in such a long time, watching that when you two had done the Match of the Day challenge. Oh, absolutely God. Blinding. Could you do it every week?
Yeah, I know.
It was honestly brilliant.
It's good. We somehow always manage to pick a week where there's like massive drama, like Mark selling Ferran Torres before his hat trick, when we neither of us had Haaland and he got the... Was it four goals against Palace? Oh, was it maybe a hat trick, something like that? Yeah, we always do pick a good week for it. We haven't got one scheduled in yet, but we'll definitely be doing one next season.
Yes.
Kimber says a channel called FPL Black Box. Yeah, I know. No one knows. No one knows. If you haven't ever checked out FPL Black Box, do so. It's
great. I recommend it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's all right. thoughts on Diaby playing as a striker alongside Watkins?
I really like Diaby. And this is what's also slightly changing my mind, because I really like him. And I think, like, I know a lot of people are going from Jesus to Watkins, but for me, I don't think Watkins is worth the extra 1.5 over having Diaby. Like, at 6.5, I think Diaby is really good.
But it's using up the midfield spot, isn't it? Worth using the midfield spot? Is he the best 6.5? Matoma, Mbombo, Eze?
I think he's the best 6.5.
Ooh, big statement. You are spicy today.
Today, aren't I?
You are.
Yeah,
strong opinions.
I think I've got strong opinions today. Something in my tea. I think he is the best option. I've gone right off Mbombo. I haven't been that impressed by Brentford at all in pre-season, and I haven't been that impressed by where he's been playing. We know that he'll do the usual cut in and shoot from distance, but we've not seen him in that kind of striker slot, which is where I would want him. God, we're playing them on the opening day. This is going to come back to haunt me, isn't it? This comment about Mbombo.
Definitely.
100% that's going to come back to haunt me. And then I'm going to say something really controversial now.
Oh, please do. This is great.
I don't like the Matoma pick. I just don't get it. I didn't like the way he played at the back end of last season. I felt like we all had to have him because the amount of double game weeks that Brighton had, and because going into that final run of the season, he was in brilliant form. And whilst he played well still in that period, he wasn't returning in an FPL perspective. So it was almost like the period before we all wanted him was a bit of a purple patch. And I haven't seen a lot from him in pre-season that's making me kind of go, well, I must have him. Mm. I think there are other players at Brighton that have impressed me more in pre-season. So I'm not buying into the Brighton hype, the Matoma hype. I do like João Pedro, mind you. And then... I look at Diaby, I look at where he potentially plays, I look at the impact that he's having straight away in the games that he's played in pre-season. I love what Unai Emery is doing with Villa and the way that they are playing. I think he is the best 6.5 option in the game.
Interesting what you said about Matoma as well, because I don't have any Brighton players in my team other than Steele at the moment. No Brighton attackers. You haven't got any Spurs, which is... Oh, no, you've got Madison at the moment.
I've got Madison at the minute.
Of course you have. But yeah, like I've got... Rishaba Mishra says, why is everyone writing off Matoma now suddenly? And it's hard to write him off completely because the fixtures are so good. Mm. I think he's had a good pre-season. I think he's played well for us. He's been our most... consistent player in terms of minutes, him and Gross.
But I think there's a difference between him playing well for Brighton and him looking like a really good FPL asset.
Well, yeah,
and
that's
been the key for me with Matoma.
That's it. I mean, I did a bit of digging in the members area on Matoma, because he did have a notable drop off in terms of returns. His stats actually improved towards the end of last season. His expected goal involvement was higher, touching the box was higher, his average sort of position was closer to the goal, everything you'd like to see. But what was down? Conversion. Down massively. So was he overperforming before? And actually, he's not the most clinical player. I thought he was a clinical player. Every time I watched him, he was through on goal. He seemed to slot it away and then he just forgot how to do it. But I mean, he was knackered because he was being rolled out every week, you know, and he's now had a little bit of a break, played a bit less, had his minutes managed, comes into the season probably fitter and fresher because he's gone from barely playing at all to playing regularly. And he's got the games. But that is also my question, is that Eze and Mbombo have pens, for example. You know, Diaby's playing as a striker, off the striker. Yeah. These are really attractive things, whereas Matoma is sharing minutes with loads of other options.
And it's not going to have pens.
No, definitely not. I mean, you know, and you look around, I mean, there's so many options at Brighton that could do well. I mean, Ferguson, Pedro, March, and Ciso, if he nails down his plays. We just don't know who is it going to be. If you start with a Brighton attacker, I still think Matoma's the one to get, because he's the most safe of minutes and little rotation. But I don't know if he is the best midfield option to start with, which is why I haven't got him.
I fully agree with everything you've just said, apart from that if you want a Brighton attacker, because I think you could go with João Pedro as a cheap option. Mm. You don't always have to play him. If he's your third striker and you don't always have to start him, he can come off benches and that kind of thing. He's going to get minutes, he gets 4 minutes.
The trouble with Pedro is that he hasn't got a great attack goal scoring record. Okay, he was at Watford and it's not easy.
He was at Watford, yeah.
To play. He's going to fit the system at Brighton really well. But again, is he going to be a great player? But not a great FPL pick.
Possibly.
And also, he's a player who I think will start for us. But we've got so many options that can come on. Undav leaving is surprising, actually. I thought he was always going to be a bit part player for us, but I thought he would probably be kept because he offered something a little bit different. He's a bit stronger than some of our other players and actually was coming into quite a good bit of form. So, Pedro on pens, Nuclear asks. Tough. Is him or Gross?
If he's on the pitch, I would. Pedro, I think, will put in a good case for having it.
Mm.
If he's on the pitch when there's a penalty, I think he will put his.
Gross isn't great at pens. I've seen him take plenty, and he's missed a couple, and the ones he has taken haven't always been the most confident. So I wouldn't be surprised if Pedro comes in and says, "I want these." But then Pedro wasn't taking pens at Watford, so he isn't like a regular penalty taker, and hasn't been.
No.
I'm not sure. I wouldn't be surprised if he won them off Gross, but I'd expect Gross to probably start with them at the beginning of the season. That's what I'd say. But
might be one of those where if Gross isn't on the pitch when we get one, Pedro takes it, converts it, and then there's a whole conversation to be had with De Zerbi about who's number one.
Yeah. Quite a few people talking up Pedro, though. They agree with you. Adam Tompkins, surely he starts.
Expensive. I think
I'm guessing he means explosive on pens. Versatile as well. You know, we talked about not going for Nketiah, but there is that option at 5-5. There's also the Luton, the Morris at 5-5 and players like that. I mean, they're not exactly the most sexy picks, are they? The promoted strikers and the thingy. So I think Pedro probably is the best one to go for.
I think so. I've been on him every draft.
Yeah.
I've not done a draft without him.
Saying. Yeah. Murphy has got triple Brighton, Steele, Estupiñán and Pedro as well.
Yeah, I've got a Estupiñán too.
Maul, what about Lallana as a cheap alternative?
When they get injured in 5 minutes.
Yeah, horrible injury record. In Ciso, who plays in his position and looks really, really good.
Yeah.
I can't see Lallana regularly starting enough for him to be an FPL pick for us. And even if he was guaranteed to start every week, I'm still not sure he's a great FPL pick. He just doesn't get the goals and assists anymore, you know. I think you can do better with a midfielder spot than going for Lallana, I'm afraid. Oh, Adam Tompkins did mean expensive. Apologies, because we paid a lot of money for him.
Oh, because you paid for him. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. True. Yeah. We paid 35 million for him, which is our record transfer. He's going to be a major player for us, guaranteed. Because you only have to watch him pre-season to see how he's already kind of come into the team and how he's working with it within the unit. So I don't hate him as a pick, but yeah, I think he's a good one to maybe think of in a kind of rotation, if you need to. Lorenzo, if the money is available, is Foden a better pick than a 6-5 midfielder? That's what I've done at the moment. I've got Foden and no Matoma. Not hot on Foden?
No. And because I don't really know where Foden's going to play. That's my issue. Like, I think once I've watched the Community Shield, I might feel differently about Foden. Like, that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that I watch the Community Shield and I see it. Because I don't really see the love. I don't really understand the love for Foden at the minute. Like, in my mind, he's not. Maybe I've been kind of punished by Foden before in the past where he's been really good and then just lost his space in the side. And I do appreciate that, you know, there's been a lot of comings and goings at Manchester City this year, and it does look more likely that he's going to nail that position. But I just don't think we can ever take that for granted at Man City. Like, until we see it happen, I just don't feel that confident that I could kind of put my all my colours on the mast with him. And I'm not... I don't know. I think I prefer Grealish of the two of them. So I feel quite torn on that. And then I do really like the Diaby pick. Like, I really like the Diaby pick. I don't know whether I like that more than the extra Man City attacker. But I think if you're going with Haaland and a Man City defender, like if you've got an Ake or a Stones in your team, then the Community Shield will be quite important to watch to work out who the third will be, if you want to treble up straight away or if you want to wait for a couple of game weeks to make sure that you fully understand where Foden is playing and how Pep is using him. That's going to be key for me.
Yep. I really like Foden.
Everyone else does. It seems it's only me.
Yeah. I just think they've got rid of a load of players that were threats to him. He came on in the Champions League final and played really, really well. He was a massive spark in them getting over the line against Inter. He's potentially going to be played in his more favourite position, which maybe is why, you know, he's been out on the left or on the right. Maybe he's not as comfortable there. Plays the false nine as well. And you've got to think this... I mean, I think we say it every year about him going into pre-season. Surely this is his year, right? Because he's too...
Yeah, but I think this is maybe my issue, is that I feel like we say this every year, and then every year it's like, not.
But, I mean, this is going to be... If he falls out of favour again in this Man City team this season, when they've sold Mahrez and Gundogan, he's got to be questioning his future at Man City. And I think he's good enough to play anywhere in the world. I guess it's just his attitude that
I don't disagree with you. I think Foden is a fantastic player. I love watching him. I think at any other club in the Premier League, he'd be nailed on and you'd pick him in FPL. But I have so many doubts about Pep and where he'll play Foden. And because even when Foden was playing like peak and at his absolute best, he just got dropped the week after. And it was like, what is that about? Like, he had a fantastic game and then wasn't in the team. And then we didn't see him for ages. And I think those Manchester City spots for me are so precious because, you know, I'm expecting them to be probably champions again this season. I'm expecting them to score loads of goals, be the highest scoring team in the league again. So I want to make sure I get my midfielder slot right. And I just don't quite trust the Foden pick. I think that's my issue.
Okay. We've had a super chat. Thank you to Chiseled Planet. It's not really a question. It's just Pep Roulette is off-putting for City players, but it massively kind of feeds into kind of what we're talking about. There's a mention of Kovacic as well. He's come in to add competition. Phillips as well in that midfield spot. I'm not saying that Foden is guaranteed to start in that role, but he's been playing. I mean, Phillips just didn't get any backing from Pep at all last season.
No.
Kovacic is a new player, and often we see new players take a bit of time to adapt in. So you'd expect Foden to, you know, be around Pep for years now. I'd be surprised if Foden didn't start the Community Shield and game week one. I just can't see him being benched.
But it's just Pep. Like, I would agree with you. I can't see it happening. But I don't. But then I also look at Kovacic and think he is quality.
Yeah, like, he is. But we said that about Phillips as well.
Well, he's also quality.
Yeah.
But, you know, Kovacic. Do they buy Kovacic and not play him?
They bought Phillips and didn't play him.
That's true. But this is the whole point. This is why I hate investing in the Man City midfield. Because I just don't know. Mm. Like, that's why Grealish was the most attractive one to me this time last year as well. Because kind of know what you're going to get.
Yeah. But it's annoying with Grealish because he isn't really delivering consistent FPL returns.
Absolutely.
Know? Like 15 returns from last season. It's not awful.
No, totally. This is why my favourite second City attacker at the moment is Alvarez.
Yeah.
I'm going to see if he plays in the Community Shield. If he plays in the Community Shield, I'm going to have him.
I know. If he starts and scores the Community Shield, he's going to be a bandwagon for sure.
I think that there is a potential that Alvarez is the standout in the Community Shield for Man City. Mm. And all of a sudden, his ownership goes from whatever it is now to like 40%. Because people will be looking for, if there's still a flag on Nkunku, with Jesus out, with some uncertainty around who might start in for other teams, like if Kane's gone and all that kind of stuff, and particularly with Richarlison being a midfielder, I think people will move on Alvarez. I'll move on Alvarez. Mm. I know I will. I can feel it happening already.
Yeah. There's going to be one Man City midfielder or Alvarez who scores in the Community Shield, and then everyone's like, and Bernardo Silva's been mentioned. Matthew Baxter.
He could be Bilva.
He starts on the right, scores. He's going to, his ownership's going to go up 10%, something like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And at Fest, we'll all be there working out how to get that absolutely in our team. Yep. All of us.
Will we get some lineups as well from Fest?
And, because they're the opening game. Yeah, might we get some? Oh, maybe get some news, and then all of a sudden we've all picked. Everyone's got a phone. He's not starting. Everyone's moving to Alvarez. Like, you can feel it happening.
I'll be doing Black Box Live and have to be making last.
I'll be running across transfers. The stage to you to come and tell you what's
not
going
starting
on.
Us.
You're like, no.
Absolutely. And just before we finish, Eng7 Iceman. Mentioning the FPL show, we had the tweet from Kelly Summers last night confirming that's coming back, which is great.
Officially out now.
Yeah.
We can talk about it now.
Yeah. You and I will be doing that. It's back next week, isn't it?
Gianni's on the first Gianni. One. So he's doing game week one. Do you want to tell them when you're doing?
I'm doing game week two. Am I?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm doing game week three.
There you go.
There we go.
Yeah. So we're back on that. And it's been revamped and it looks really exciting. So, yeah.
Don't wear green.
No, don't agree. Won't be wearing this. Did you see Harry's?
I did. Thing? Yeah. That would have been me on the price reveal had I not read the document properly that they send over at the call sheet.
Yeah, very good. We're obviously really looking forward to that. So
I cannot wait. I literally can't wait. The FPL show, it's been a lot. It feels like it's been a long time gone.
It does.
We've all missed it.
Yeah.
So I'm very much looking forward to having it back again.
Yep. We've got one more super chat to go before we finish. It's from Chisel Planet again. Elliot of Newcastle looks like a good 4-5 million enabler.
Yeah, if you want to go for a 4.5 million enabler in midfield, then I don't think he's a bad option.
The fixtures
are, he actually scored Elliot Anderson. He's actually scored, didn't he, in pre-season, and he's looked all right. I think the first fixtures are awful for Newcastle, but if you're going with a 4.5, that he's your bench player, isn't he? Because that means you've got three strongs up top. I think the only thing I'd say is that I've kind of slightly gone off the three strong up top because everyone's injured now. So it's kind of like, well, where are you getting it apart from Haaland? Where are you getting the other two from? So unless you're going with, like, I don't know, maybe a Watkins and a Jackson or a Watkins and an Alvarez or something along those lines in your front spots, then I don't know that having the 4.5 enabler in midfield is actually as valuable as maybe it has been in previous years. But if you're doing something rogue, like you're having Haaland and Trent and Salah, and you need to find budget, then he could be the best 4.5 midfielder.
Well, the only other 4-5 million midfielder is Marvellous Nakamba, isn't it? But you're not going to get any attacking returns from him at Luton.
No.
So if you go for the safe 90-minute man in him, or you take a punt on someone who might end up breaking his way into the Newcastle first team. So,
yeah.
We will see. Right, we're going to call it there. Sam, fantastic as always. We'll be back next week. Not sure when. When do we say we're going to be next week? Early.
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
So I am doing the Sky Sports News show just before. So I finish at 5 to 11. So then I'll come straight from one onto this.
Perfect.
So you'll see me straight off the back of doing that one.
Cool. And then we'll both be heading to Fest and the meets sort of beforehand.
Yes.
So looking forward to that. Right. Good luck, everyone. Good luck with your drafts. Let us know in the comments how your teams are looking. Have you enjoyed the stream? And Sam and I will be back next week.
See you next week, guys.